Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Tuesday edition. The Post-Truth Tuesday edition. That's what I've been calling it. You can call it whatever you want, but you got to dial us if you want to call us at 844-967-2789. I want to thank my fine co-devil, first half of the 4 o'clock hour, Matt Flynn from Matt Flynn Direct, attorney by trade, talk show host by new vocation. Get up early, hear him each and every morning, the very opinionated, often direct Matt Flynn, 6 to 8 a.m. So thank you, Matt, and don't forget, on tomorrow's big show, right about now, we've got a fine pollster, great state of Wisconsin, Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School, pollster extraordinaire, dropping new Wisconsin polling tomorrow, about 24 hours from now. We'll go inside the numbers with you. And in the 3 o'clock hour tomorrow, a really big booking, I promised we'd get him back on the calendar. Former U.S. Senator Al Franken joining me in the 3 o'clock hour, about 3:30 tomorrow. Al Franken, the only former senator on tour, comes to the Barrymore Theater this Friday night. I think there's just a few tickets left. So if you want one, you better call the Barrymore Theater box office and, you know, put down some ching, get those tickets. Less than 50 remain last time I checked. So looking forward to have Al Franken on the big show tomorrow. And, you know, there's some other thoughts I have about other people that do this fine show or a similar inferior product, guys like Sean Hannity. Here in Madison, Wisconsin, when my little buddy Dominic joins me on the airwaves about 5 o'clock, the happier happy hour every day, we've got a direct competitor, a non-live Foxy News host that plays out directly against us, Sean Hannity. And I know Hannity plays out in most cities around the nation. You know, he's like in 600 markets. I'm not quite there yet. I'll get there someday. But the other thing I don't have the benefit of is the ear of the President of the United States. And of course, I don't have the paycheck or the big Fox News gig, nor a corrupted soul like Sean Hannity just might. New from the Washington Post. More Sean Hannity texts, more corruption. Eric Wimple reporting. CNN has released a new round of text messages from former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows' phone relating to the January 6th insurrection. Among the communications are a series of messages between Meadows and Foxy News host Sean Hannity on Election Day 2020, showing not only that the former chief of staff was dictating Hannity's content, but also that the latter was writing in to seek his marching orders. Now, the Democrats don't give me my marching orders, and they certainly don't take their marching orders from me. But anyways, quite interesting to learn just what a cozy relationship Mark Meadows, the president's chief of staff, and Hannity had. Let's read a little bit more. The topic was getting out the vote. Here's a quote. "Stress every vote matters. Get out and vote," wrote Meadows. "Yes, sir," Hannity responded. I can't remember. I think I was in the military the last time I responded "yes, sir" to anything. Other than maybe my kids when they were little. "Dad, can we do something?" "Yes, sir, we can." Usually burning down the house, something fun. Anyways, I read on. The full exchange, again, between Meadows and Hannity, conveys the sense of urgency the White House felt as Donald Trump faced off against Democratic nominee Joe Biden on November 3rd, 2020. And it carries an informality hinting at just how frequently such exchanges occurred. Sean Hannity to Mark Meadows. Hey, if I was texting the president's chief of staff, I might choose something more formal than, hey, you up? What you doing? Sean Hannity to Mark Meadows. North Carolina gonna be okay. Meadows to Sean Hannity. Stress every vote matters. Get out and vote. Mark Meadows to Sean Hannity on the radio. Oh, yeah, the power of right-wing talk radio. It is quite powerful. Here in the state of Wisconsin, I've mentioned this often, there are 81 right-wing talk radio outlets, doing kind of what we do, just less emphasis on truthiness. And they do it for 235 hours per day in the state of Wisconsin, just this state. Right-wing talk radio content like that created by Sean Hannity at the bequest of the former president's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Hannity, oh yeah, Hannity, after he was told by Mark Meadows, go on the radio, stress every vote matters, get out and vote. And then Hannity's response back to Mark Meadows, yes, sir, doing as ordered, right? And then more from Hannity to Meadows, on it, any place in particular we need a push. And then Meadows back to Hannity, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Arizona. Meadows to Hannity, Nevada, Sean Hannity, back to Mark Meadows. Got it. Everywhere. On it tells you all you need to know. As the Post, Washington Post, Philip Bump notes, Hannity's radio commentary that day on his afternoon drive time show echoed Meadows' directives. Pennsylvania, Arizona, and North Carolina received the most mentions on the show. If only all of Hannity's corrupt shilling for Trump would, for Trump world, were this benign and civically responsible. Imploring people to get out and vote, after all, is a patriotic activity practiced by partisans, nonpartisans, good government groups, educators, parents, and everyday citizens. It just so happens, however, that taking that message from a White House official and targeting states according to his political calculation shifts Hannity exhortations into the realm of political propaganda, a familiar arena for him. A little bit more. CNN's Dana Bash wrote, let's be clear, that is not normal. That is not normal for people who don't know how we communicate. It's not normal for somebody who works for a purported news organization, despite the fact that he's clearly not a journalist and not even really purport to be. But that's not okay. Strong point. Though when journalists' private messages with sources get exposed, either via hacking or court proceedings, they often look icky. Reporters buttering up sources, sharing drafts, and so on. But those activities fall far short of Hannity's misconduct. When authorities probe Trump-era malfeasance, they commonly wind up with Hannity's communications. The host's texts with former Trump chairman, Paul Manafort, for example, laid bare his critical role as a fixer and consoler-in-chief for Trump associates. Look, you call me if you get down, Hannity wrote to Manafort in communications produced as part of the federal investigation of Manafort. Need a friend? If I can help any day or night, I'm praying with you and your family. You stay strong. Man, we all need a friend like Sean Hannity, apparently. The New York Times suggested that Hannity could have helped to coordinate messaging between Trump and Manafort. The host tweeted a defense of his Manafort text. Here is what Hannity says in his own defense, apparently. My view of the special counsel investigation and the treatment of Paul Manafort were made clear every day to anyone who listens to my radio show or watches my TV show. Oh, yeah, I got some sense of clarity from you, Hannity. But Paul Manafort was the guy that shared inside polling data with Kalimnik, with a known Russian, what do they call that? You know, an asset. He shared Trump inside polling data. The very campaign he worked for, you know, for freebie, pro bono. Is that what they call it in the legal profession? Well, what do you call it when a guy who owes a lot of money overseas to, let's say, some Russian sorts, and he volunteers, because he didn't get paid apparently, but volunteers to run the campaign for the Republican frontrunner, Donald Trump, says he's got some experience of handling such matters, helps navigate him through the RNC convention in Cleveland, and, you know, pays off some of his former bosses that he owes some substantial amounts of money to, something in the, seven, eight-figure range, multiple millions of dollars? Well, he doesn't have the money, but, you know, he's got a little insider information, which he apparently gladly shared. And right-wing talk radio host and Foxy News host Sean Hannity, well, he was very sympathetic to the guy coordinating with Russia from the Trump campaign. Just happened to be his campaign manager. More from the Wimple piece at the Post. The Election Day texts aren't the first Hannity Meadows messages to come to light. Last December, the House January 6th Select Committee revealed another set of texts between them on the days of the riots. "Can he make a statement, ask people to leave the Capitol?" question mark, texted Hannity, requesting that Trump take some action amid the chaos. That message, along with others from Fox News personalities, suggested that these folks realized the horror of January 6th as it was unfolding, yet attempted to play it down as time wore on. Well, that or blame it on Antifa, of course. Text obtained by the committee from the phone of former press secretary Kayleigh McEnany, what's she, insurrection Barbie, also showed that Fox News hosts in a panic after the riots. "One, no more stolen election talk," Hannity wrote. "Two, yes, impeachment and the 25th Amendment are real, and many people will quit." McEnany replied, "Love that, thank you. That is the playbook. I will help reinforce." Well, let's not forget McEnany. Barbie came over from Fox News herself, didn't she? Based on the text traffic, it's tough to pinpoint Hannity's precise location in the Trump hierarchy. He was once referred to as the shadow chief of staff, though he's also willing to take instruction, and he does a great job of implementing directives. He's passionate, generous with his time, overall a model employee, just not of any organization claiming to provide news. It ain't news. When you are in coordination with a campaign, you stop, you know, reporting on the news, and you start making the news. You start becoming part of the news, as Sean Hannity of late often does. 844-967-2789. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom joined soon. Your calls could be next. So what should we talk about? Got a few minutes here. Don't want to start a completely new topic. But I got one completely off the rails topic to throw out there. Let's jam it in now in the last couple minutes. Legalize marijuana. I know it doesn't fit. I know it's out of left field. 420 was last week, right, Crudy? But I had to bring this point up. I'm going to my go-to source on marijuana news, the marijuanamoment.net. And the marijuanamoment.net is reporting that the great state of Arizona, you've heard of Arizona, formerly a red state, now it's got Mark Kelly and Kristen Sinema, whatever color, not exactly sure what she wears for colors, you know, team-wise. But the state of Arizona has legalized recreational marijuana. And the Marijuana Moment has taken note of the fact Arizona collected more tax revenue from marijuana than alcohol and tobacco combined last month. I mean, alcohol and tobacco, those are also vices, right? By pretty much anyone's definition. But those two vices, all the tax revenue generated, were outsized by marijuana revenue in newly legalized Arizona. Let me read just a little bit from your new go-to marijuana source, the marijuanamoment.net. Arizona generated more tax revenue in the state general fund from legal marijuana sales than tobacco and alcohol combined last month. Tax deposits to the state's general fund from medical and adult use cannabis reached about $6.3 million in March. Hold that thought, there's more to come. Compared with $1.7 million from tobacco and $3.7 million from alcohol sales, that's from the Arizona Joint Legislative Budget Committee. You know, their Joint Finance Committee, effectively. But that ain't the only marijuana tax collected by the state of Arizona. Beyond the $6.3 million in cannabis tax dollars for the general fund, marijuana excise taxes separately exceeded about $12 million for the month, for a total of $18.2 million in marijuana revenue, most of which goes to the state, smaller portions being distributed to cities and counties. Advocates and stakeholders are touting the March figures. Not only do they underscore the economic opportunity of legalization, but the hope is that providing regulated access to cannabis means fewer people will use the more dangerous drugs like alcohol and tobacco. Be careful, folks. Those things will kill you. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, more of your calls. 844-967-2789.
What's this, sir?
Call me sir, dammit.